So we are glad to have them here. We talk about the idea of our relationship with Christ. And it's interesting because we talk about all these doctrines. We talk about all these truths of the Bible. And then, we get down to, okay, I know it. I believe it. And then it comes into, I have to do it. Right? And it's often easy to sit down and say, okay, you know what? This is what the Bible says. I know it. But sometimes it's a lot harder to actually put it into practice. And that's why we have the Holy Spirit in our lives, to help us in these things. Because in here, we talk about this in Sunday school this morning, that in here we have the struggle, that we have the flesh. And it wants its desires. And in here, it divides us from the will of God in our lives. And Ephesians chapter 5, we get down through, and probably mostly where the rubber meets the road is the idea of our marriages. Right? How we live these things out with our spouses. The person who knows us the best, the person who sees us at our worst, right? I feel sorry for my wife because she's married to me, I imagine. The first day we were married, we were out, she saw me first morning. It was like, you didn't look like that way when we dated, And now she sees me on all my ugly glory in the morning before I'm all cleaned up, before everything all else out, right? But anyway, we start living these things all out. And Ephesians chapter 5 starts talking about, look, should what we believe impact us most in the very intimate relationship that we can have in our lives? And that's our marriages. And then in chapter 6, he starts off talking about our children and our those type of relationships as well. Now, it's interesting going through and studying all this and reading through. This is one of those passages that really kind of steps on your toes, because in here, the standard, as God lays it out, is pretty high of how I should be behaving. And I was studying that through, and I have to go home after this, and my wife says, "Hey, you preached on this. You gotta do it." But in here, and what he talks about is the ultimate picture of our lives. That as Christians, we are living out, and Christ is living in and through us. And in here, we're going to look at this idea that marriage is truly laying out this picture of Christ and the church. And that's why I came up with a title for this of the sermon, is Christ, the Church, and Marriage. That in here, we talk about some of these mysteries of the gospel. We talk about these spiritual things that we try to understand. And what God has done oftentimes is given us illustrations of what this looks like. And one of the illustrations of what does it look like with Christ and His church, as God interacts with us as Christians, what does that look like? And what God has designed is, look at marriage. Look at your marriage. Is that a type, a picture of Christ in the church? And we're a living example, hopefully, of what that looks like. We're going to go ahead and start reading here in Ephesians chapter 5, starting at verse 22. It says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her by the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, and of his flesh, and of his bone. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife also see that he respects her husband." As we go down through, we look at this relationship. Some of you have been married, we'll be 30 years this year. And we're still working on all of this. And it's interesting, some of you have been around the block a few more times than we have. And I guess you're probably in the same process of working these things all out as well.
But anyway, what Paul talks about here is, look, I show you, these things are a great mystery. And talk about Christ in the church. The ending of this great mystery of the bride of Christ and the bridegroom is just Christ Himself. And is there an interaction with each other in these things? This is a great mystery. What's this look like within the scope? A mystery of the Bible is things that wasn't revealed before, that God has His relationship with Israel is different than His own church. That in here, the relationship that Christ has with us is one that's played out in the most intimate level. Christ loved His church. So much so that He gave Himself for His church. That in here, this is played out. And then we take those examples and apply them to our marriage. But I want to really start looking at this idea of Christ in the church first. And I'm going to start from there. Start from the spiritual and start working my way over to the practical. As Christ is the head of the church, in here he talks about God has a purpose for the church. The first one is, look, to love the church. That husbands, we are to love our wives as Christ so loved the church that He gave Himself for. That, folks, we look at the sacrifice that God the Father gave towards us, His church. Of what great love He loved us. And love puts itself into action. When Christ looked at the body of Christ, He didn't say, oh, well, I love them, but oh, tough luck. But in here, it motivated Him to action towards His church. And husbands, as we get into that practicality, you know, it's easy to say, I love you. It's harder to put that into action. Right? And then you have to live out that love. So one of the purposes of the Christ with the church is to show His love. Second thing, look at what He gave Himself for. The ultimate sacrifice. It's interesting because we're going to get into it just a little bit. But what happens, we talk about this in Sunday school, is that we have this struggle that takes place. See, when God put Adam and Eve, that He made Eve as a companion for Adam. And there was harmony within the home. Adam was the perfect guy, she was the perfect gal, and they lived in harmony with one another. Right? Eve didn't have to run around and say, oh, I wonder if Adam was the one. He was it. Right? They didn't hear. They didn't answer, well, I don't know, you know, can we make this work? There was no option. They were just made for each other. There was harmony until sin came into the picture. And when sin came into the picture, we have strife that takes place because of that. And in that reaction that Christ saw the church, it led Him to action in these things. And so much so that in here, He sacrificed Himself. And husbands, this is the picture of the sacrifice that we should need to have for our wives. Now, do I have this all perfected? No, I'm still working on it. But as I turn around and look at the example in this, as Christ loves the church, He gave Himself, held nothing back, even His own life He gave. Second thing He talks about here is He sanctifies her. The idea of sanctification means to set apart. That Christ is working in us. It says, look, by the washing of the Word in here, Christ is working in us to make us more like Him. That in here, the things that God wants to bring into my life are good things, beneficial things that are going to strengthen me in my relationship with God. And husbands, it talks about us as well, that we should have that responsibility to sanctify our wives, to come across, are we helping them in their Christian walk? Bring them closer to the Lord. And the last one here is the cleanser. That makes her a holy bride, acceptable unto God. And as Christ comes in and works in us, that we're not perfect, we all fall short. Yet God does not give up. He works in us. You know, sometimes He says a little rougher corners than others, and God's been working and buffering on us.
but to turn around and to cleanse her, to cleanse his church, to purify him in all these things. And that's the God towards us. And he's the perfect example because he's the perfect husband towards his church. That in here, when there's a struggle in that picture of the church and Christ, guess what? The Christ is always right and the church is the one who falters in that relationship. But we look at that example of the perfect love and the perfect relationship of the perfect marriage, if you will. The Bible talks about here, within our marriage, why even have this creation of marriage? And God has some things He set up for us within our marriages. The first thing we see this picture of is, look, to help each other to conform to the image of Christ. That as we look down through and we play out the role of marriage, that, look, it should benefit us towards our relationship with Christ. Years ago, I remember having a conversation with someone. They're like, well, you guys are Christians. I'm like, yeah. And they asked my wife, they said, look, do you love God more than you love your husband? And my wife said, yes. And the person was a little bit alarmed. They said, well, wait a minute. They looked at me and said, wait a minute, don't you want to be first in your wife's life? And the answer is no. That in my life, look, the closer my wife is to God, the better wife she'll be. In my life, the closer I get to God, the better husband I will be, right? I'll play second fiddle to God any day of the week. And in here, our lives is to help each other, to encourage each other to conform to the image of Christ. As we look at this picture, right? He says, I can show you this great mystery. Wives submit to your husbands. Husbands love your wives. This is a picture. And as we comply to these things, as we play this out, we are playing out the relationship of God and the church. And so in here, one of our goals in marriage, one of the purposes of marriage, is to help each other be more Christ-like. Second thing we turn around is second is to be holy. Years ago, I was working with a gentleman, and he turned around, and he goes, oh, Pastor, you know I was a pastor, and we were working together. He goes, can I have a moment of your time? I said, sure. I said, what's up? He goes, I don't know what to do. I said, what? What's the problem? He goes, my wife is going to the bars while I'm at work, and she's picking up guys. That sounds like a problem. Oh, I said, well, what's the deal? What, what brought this about? He goes, it's my fault. I said, well, what do you mean? He goes, I was into the party scene. She was not. I married her. She was a good girl, and I was not. And he goes, I wanted to kind of have to play this thing out. He goes, I taught her into going to bars with me. He goes, so she didn't want to go, but it made me happy she would go with him. So she started going to the bars with him. He goes, this would be kind of fun. He goes, why don't you kind of flirt with guys, and then I'll come up and I'll act like, this is our first date, and then, I'll pick you up. And she's like, I don't know about this. And he goes, oh, yeah. This would be fun, and, put a spark in our marriage. Well, she started doing that. Well, then all of a sudden, he had to go to work, and she goes, well, I'm going to do the bar without you. And he's like, whoa. And at this point, she goes, well, look, And then this sort of progressed. And he goes, well, what should I do?
I said, you know where their problem was? You got this ball rolling. You opened this door. I said, according to Ephesians, look, one of your jobs is to bring holiness into the family. And what you've done is opened the door up by bringing this into the home. Now, maybe in your case it's not as extreme, but sometimes what we watch, what we do, what we read, what materials we bring into the home, what are these things that we are bringing in that is corrupting or defiling our families as opposed to bringing holiness into the home? Is what we're doing helping each other in our walk with the Lord? That goes back to number one. is what we're doing within the home bringing us more Christ-like, or is this all self-centered? But as Christ loved the church, and in here he sanctifies her, he sets her apart and purifies her. And husbands, one of our jobs is to come out through, and I think this applies to the wives as well, but in here, what are we bringing into the home? What are we doing in here to be a more Christ-like environment within our homes? And the last purpose of this is to worship God. That in here, we worship the Lord. That within our homes, are we a place of worship? Are we a place of prayer within the home? If this is the picture of Christ in the church, and our marriage should reflect that, then as a couple, we should be coming back and falling on our knees and saying, Lord, help us kind of fit this image. That when the world looks at us and sees the couple here, do they see Christ in the church? Do they see what that should look like? You know, today, so many marriages, Christian couples look just like the world couples. There's no difference. And I'll tell you something, this is not a healthy environment for marriages. The world's not promoting it. Right? Today, I think groups are, you know, living together and playing marriage without the commitments. Breaks my heart is I turn around and we go to, you know, say Good News Club, or we're dealing with these kids who are living in these broken homes where mom and dad aren't doing anything spiritual within the home. And you talk to these kids about the love of God and there's no stability in their life. Years ago, I was talking to a kid and I said, Jesus promises he'll never leave you nor forsake you. And he was like, well, what if I'm bad? I said, Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He says he wants to be your heavenly father who loves you and cares for you. And the girl's like, I don't know my father. My father's never been around. I've never had a man in my life who stayed. And I'm his boyfriend for a while and someone else and someone else. And what does that do to that picture of the love of Christ towards us? But in here, the goal of a family should be one of worship. And in here, we pray together. We encourage each other. Glorify God in our decisions and what we do. And we've gotten up, broken up so much of that. It's interesting because we look at this picture of Christ in the church. And it is a perfect picture. Isn't it? I mean, you look down through and it talks about wives submit to your husbands and husbands love your wives as your own body, and it talks about this picture in here, and all of us kind of want that because it's a perfect harmony within the home. And I pull up this picture because here we have this boy and girl dressing up and kind of doing the part. As a picture of Christ in the church is perfect, you know the problem comes in? I'm not. And my wife is not, and you're not either, right? And in here, we look at this picture, we strive for it, but apart from the Holy Spirit in our lives, we can't do it. And in here, we work out and encourage these things, as I mentioned, that in our lives, there is really this kind of dichotomy. These two things are kind of pulling at odds. The first one is, we have sin. I'm a sinner. My wife's a sinner. You're a sinner. And you bring that into the mix. So it's interesting because we go through the book of Ephesians. It says, wives, submit to your husbands. And that term submit as a military sort of thing means to put yourself under the authority of. It's not a matter of being lesser. It's not a matter of being not as smart or as skilled. Not at all. Actually, in my life, you know what? I've worked for people that I was smarter than. Have you ever done that? You ever worked for someone who had, you know, you were more skilled at than your boss. But because he's the boss, you put yourself under that authority. That's the terminology that's here. Wives submit to your husbands. And all the husbands are like, yes! Preach it, brother! Right? Well, then you get down through and you talk about husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. That sacrificial love.
And all the wives are like, yes, give it to them, Will, right? And we see this turmoil within our marriages of looking for that. And in here, it's not strange because in Genesis, when sin came in, we talked about this in Sunday school. And in here, part of the curse is like talking to the wife. He says, your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. Because of sin in our marriages, what happens, we're fighting for the bosshood. I don't know if that's a word. But we're seeking the authority. That in here, that battle. Well, he's not going to tell me what to do. Well, she needs to live. And we get into this whole battle taking place. And what that is sin, and that's the flesh. And we're like, and as we work these things out, Ruth Graham put it this way, I love this. She says, a happy marriage is a union of two good forgivers. You know, as we go down through and we look at this picture of Christ in the church and the standards that's set here, now I find it interesting because nowhere does it say, wife submit to your husband's because it just says so. And it says, husbands, love your wives. It doesn't say, if she, it's, no. They're independent from each other, right? That, look, we all have our roles to play. We all have our responsibilities to do. We'll stand before God, and I'll have to give our responsibility, our account for my responsibility, and you'll have to give account for your responsibility. But in here, grace and mercy are the wheels within a marriage that make it work. That we both have imperfect people trying to accomplish a perfect picture and we fall short. Like I said, some of you have been married a whole lot longer than I have. And I think you would agree the key to it is to forgive. If commitment and love, and in here, the idea of being able to start over and be renewed in all these things. And as this picture plays out, as husbands, as I get closer to the Lord, and Lord, help me to forgive, because it's so easy in our lives for bitterness to play out. Right? Instead of the couple here who is forgiving and loving each other, you know, we see them in that turmoil and fall into the mode of... But as we play out these things and we come closer to God, that in here, Lord, help me to be what I need to be. And in here, to allow forgiveness and mercy as we play this out. Because over the years, there's a lot of hurt and a lot of pain that happens. A lot of water goes under the bridge, doesn't it? At the end of the day, because of commitment, because of love, and because of Lord working in our lives, Lord, I can be more than I was. I'm not what I should be, but Lord, work in me. Then in here, you know, I'd rather be this couple at the end of the day than this one. And our society has gotten to the point where it says, we look at this and it's hard. It's interesting as Paul goes on through and says, wives, submit to your own husbands as unto the Lord. And husbands, love your wives as Christ will love the church. He looks at this picture and Paul says, look, if I'm speaking about it, it's a great mystery because I imagine the readers are like, oh man, this is tough. And Lord, help me work through this. And Lord, I need you to produce in me what I need to be. That in here, that commitment that comes on through. And in society, we just move on. Right? We just find someone else. Years ago, my oldest was interested in a boy. Oh, it was hard for you. And we had one of these talks. She sat down, she goes, Dad, how do you know Mom was the one? How did you know she was the one? And I'm not a very sentimental kind of guy. So I said, you sure you want to have this conversation with me? You know, I talked to your mom about this, you know. She goes, well, how do you know mom was the one? I said, I prayed about it. And the Lord just made it clear. And I married her. She goes, well, Dad, you ever had any regrets? Do you have any doubts that she wasn't the one? I said, I married her. She is the one. She's the one now. Then, right? At this point going forward, Lord willing, we work it out. Now, God's good. Because there's been times I'm like, oh, this ain't worth it. And there's times, I'm just being honest, there's times my wife looks at me and goes, this ain't worth it. God's been merciful. We never felt that at the same time. But in the turmoil of it all, okay, Lord, you're in control. And Lord, I surrender to you. And Lord, I need your forgiveness when I fail. And I need her forgiveness when I fail throughout it all. Because when it works, it's a beautiful picture of Christ in the church. Right? When our marriages click and it works well, it's a beautiful thing. When it doesn't, it is probably the most hurtful thing. I've talked to couples. Because no one can hurt you more than your spouse. Right? Oftentimes, divorce, the person that you love the most becomes the person that you hate the most. And the pain and hurt that goes in the process of all that. The problem isn't the picture of what this is. The problem is you and I.
In here, marriage, if I was going to come down through, then... and clarify this and come up through and talk about submission and in here and loving and battle this out. And in here, the picture I think that most clarifies comes up through is nevertheless that each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself. Can I tell you something?
I'm married 30 years, which some of you, like I said, that may not seem long to some of you. But I've learned something, that men and women are different. That's not fake news. You know, no matter what society tells you, right? They want to tell you, men and women are the same. It doesn't matter. They're all interchangeable. That is crazy talk. Right? We are different. We think different. We react different. And I think, especially when it comes to the process of raising children, two parents are the best thing because we both bring different things to the mix. You know? I'm one that tells my daughter, oh yeah, let's go do this, my mom. And the wife's like, hold on. And our children survive. But we go down through it. And what I've learned, one of the needs comes down through that becomes different. Husbands,
John, I'm speaking to myself. My wife, what she needs is, what's it say here? To love his wife.
And I don't care where you are. I was going through this, and I know many of you have been married for a long time. What am I going to tell you? Because you've hammered out a lot of things. If you've made it this far, you've hammered out some of the rules of the house. You figured out what kind of works for you.
But in here, husbands, what our wives need from us is to know that we love them. That seems really simple, doesn't it? And that love comes down through being a point where they want to know that they're the most important thing in our lives. And especially for us guys, it's easy to get wrapped up in other things and consumed in other things. And we just kind of move along. And our goal needs to be, okay, let our wives know we love them.
Peter turns around and says, live with your wives with understanding. You know your wife. You know how they're wired. You know what works. We knew a couple that, it was funny, anytime they were going somewhere, he'd turn around and say, hey woman, let's go. And she was like, okay, da da da. And there's, one of the other wives were there. It's like, you let him call you that? Yeah. And he goes, it was just a term of endearment. Didn't do anything. It was always interesting. It worked for them. Well, it's funny because that same evening, the one guy did that. Well, this other guy says, oh, I like that. So he says, hey, woman. She goes, don't you dare. It didn't work that way for them, right? Live with your wives with understanding. Know what works. Try to attend those needs.
The last part of this is, and let the wife see that she, what? Respects her husband.
It's interesting because we look at these things and the battle comes in when the balance gets put out. Guys, if our wives feel that other things are more important, you're in trouble. I'm in trouble when that happens. Because our wives need to know that we love them. Right? And if they don't feel that, bitterness, resentment comes in. The other side of this is, wives, respect your husband. Right? That in here, do the men in our lives know that we look up to them, that we see them as God's place in our lives? Of what they do to honor that? Do we respect them? Because without that respect, bitterness comes in as well. That the men in your life want to know that you kind of look up to them, that you listen to them, that you value them. And when these things get off balance on either side is when problems come in. The strife flares up. Nevertheless, let each of you in particular so love his own wife as himself. And the wife sees that she respects her husband's. And this boils down to it. Over the years, I've sat down with a lot of couples who are going through a lot of issues. And at the end of the day, it comes down to this. A wife who feels unloved and a husband who doesn't feel respected. And I'll tell you, as we go down through and say, Lord, work in me. To see forgiveness on both sides. And it's interesting because it doesn't say, husband, love your wife if she respects you, does it? It doesn't say that. Husbands, you are called to love your wives. Well, you don't know my wife. No? Well, maybe I don't. But you still to love her. Right? Because Christ loved his church. And look how she's messed up. Look how fickle she can be. And yet Christ still loves. You notice that it says, it doesn't say, wives respect your husbands if they're respectable. Does it say that? No. But in here, respect him for the role that God has put him in your life. And each one, though not dependent on each other. Right? One doesn't matter. But when they both click, how wonderful that can be. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, respect your husbands. And play these things through in your life. And in doing so, that your marriage will become that picture of Christ in the church. In here, that He is glorified and He is worshipped in our marriages. That in this, the world around us can see Christ at work in this world as we are that picture, we are that example. I don't think I've preached a sermon where everyone was so quiet. But it's serious. And it's practical. And in here, to work these things out, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. Because in and of ourselves, the war would be great. But through Christ, all things are possible. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the work of the Spirit in our lives. Lord, I pray for us husbands, Lord, that we will love our wives as you loved us. Lord, you as the Heavenly Father, as you as the Heavenly Husband, Lord, are an example to us, Lord. Place within us a love that leads to action. Lord, for the wives in this room, Lord, help us to respect our husbands, the role that they have, the work that they do, the God-given authority that they have. That in this, Lord, bring harmony within the body within us, Lord. Bring harmony within our marriages as we press on. And Lord, above all, pour out your mercy and your grace because we need it. Lord, help us to forgive because I need forgiveness. Lord, help us to pardon because I need your pardon. And in this, Lord, protect our marriages. The world is tearing these things apart. The pressures are great. The demands are endless. But Lord, we thank you that where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. Lord, pour grace and mercy upon our marriages. Preserve us from the evil one. Lord, we ask this in your name. Amen.